So we're going to continue our series in the parables of Jesus, and tonight's message is entitled Persisting in Prayer, and we're going to be looking at a couple different parables tonight, and they're going to be in the Gospel of Luke. If you'd like to turn there, I have them on the board here for you. It's going to be Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13, as well as Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. And like many of the parables, as we think through these things, there's usually some type of question that we should be asking ourselves, that we should be reflecting on as we hear the teaching of Jesus. And tonight's question for us is, are you being persistent in your prayer life? So are you persistent in your prayer life? And we're going to look at the parable where we see there is this man, a guy that has a visitor come to his home, and then he has to go to his neighbor asking and persisting and asking him for a need. And then we're also going to see a widow who is petitioning and persistently asking a judge to work on her behalf. So those are the two parables we're going to be looking at tonight. But I'm going to go ahead and read them for us. So starting in chapter 11, verse 5. To 13. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And when he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And then moving over to chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge says. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So in these two parables, we see a focus on persistent prayer. We see a teaching on what is important to be persistent in our prayer life. So the first parable, we see that there is this man, and he has a friend that has come to him, to his home, and they had just been on a long journey. And so this man, having a friend here, recognizes for whatever reason he doesn't have the resources to feed him, to provide and to host him. And as many of you know, this is actually very bad. This is kind of a social disgrace at the time. If you have someone coming into your home and you can't provide food, drink, clothing, a bed, things of that sort. So this man, whether he just was ill-prepared or whether he just wasn't expecting them to show up, he recognizes, I need to take care of my friend. I need to feed him. So what he does then is he goes to his neighbor or his other friend, and he says, hey, I really need help. I need you to give me 3 loaves of bread. And so he's knocking, he's banging on his door, but it's late at night. And the guy that's in the home, he says, hey, it's nighttime. It's late. I'm in bed with my kids, with my family. You know, we worked a long day. We had a long day. We're tired. We're done. I'm not messing with all that stuff. But the man continues to knock on the door. He just keeps banging, keeps saying, hey, I really, really need this. Like, this is necessary right now. I need it right now. So he just keeps knocking. Finally, the man, not because he's a friend, but because of the man's persistence that he keeps begging, keeps knocking, he finally says, getting frustrated, okay, fine, take the loaves, leave me and my family alone, let us go to bed. So that's what we see in the first parable. Then in the second parable, we see something very similar. We have a judge who is an unjust judge. It says that he doesn't fear or honor God, so he doesn't really care about God or what God's commandments or obligations are for his life. And it also says he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't really care about the justice for the individual. He doesn't really care about his neighbor, right? Like the Good Samaritan, how he saw that, how we're supposed to. He didn't really do that. Didn't really care about justice for other people. Mainly focused on himself. Well, this widow had someone, an adversary, do something wrong to her. We don't know exactly in the parable what that thing was, but something had been done to her that was an injustice. So she then was going to the judge and she's saying, please, you know, hear me out. I need you to give me justice. But the guy, he's not interested. He doesn't want to help. And he basically just pushes her off. But then it says that she continues persistently to petition him and saying, give me justice, give me justice. And it says basically because he didn't want to be worn down or become weary, he didn't want her to continue to annoy him basically, or maybe even give him a bad name for continuously not hearing her request. He finally says, because you keep doing this, I'm going to do it. And then he then gives her justice. And I think we see in both examples some desperation, right? We see the man that had the friend coming, it was a social thing where, you know, it would have been a social disgrace for him not to take care of him by being hospitable. And then likewise with this widow, as many of you know, a woman didn't have much rights when it came to a court of law or to make their case. And if you're a widow, obviously that means your husband, the man of the house, was unable to plead your case. And also at this time, many widows would not have a lot of income or a lot of money, so it's possible that she couldn't even like provide to pay the judge, where some judges, especially a corrupt or unjust judge, they would actually usually hold off a case and wait for you to bribe them, maybe give them a little money, and then they would be motivated to hear or to work upon your case. So it's possible that this judge maybe was wanting to just wait and see if maybe she's going to give me some money if I keep saying no. But the point is, regardless of the desperation, regardless of the different individuals, the fact that they continued to be persistent in their request, in their petition, we see then that they received what they were asking for. So what are some takeaways? What are some things that we can then learn from this? Well, I think the first thing that we need to remember and we need to reflect on as we look at these parables is that we as disciples of Christ, we are commanded to pray. Now, this is something many of us know, right? This is probably one of the fundamentals, right? Whenever you're a little kid in Sunday school, you hear we need to pray, right? Prayer is a good thing. We are called to communicate and to petition God. However, though we all hear this and know this, this still continues to be one of the things that is often one of the most neglected things in a Christian's life. If you were to look at just each of our Christian, you know, our weekly lives this last week, and you think to ourselves, how often were we in prayer? How often were we letting God know of our thoughts, our actions? How many things were we putting to Him, asking God to work in that midst or to bless that or to give us wisdom or to work on any occasion that we might be thinking of? See, prayer is often very neglected, and also I think we even devalue it in our church. Now, not in our pulpits. I think most of the time in our pulpits, it's pretty good. It's preached on. We need to pray, right? But I think it's in our practice that we devalue it, because how many times do we not pray until we are in the storm? When we wait till we're in the hard, desperate place, right? Where these people were in the parable, right? The person didn't have the food, and now the guy's here. You know, this person has lost her husband, and now the bad thing happened, and now she's helpless and hopeless, and then she goes and petitions. A lot of times, we react with prayer right? Rather than act with prayer. We aren't just living in prayer. We always have to respond in it. But we need to remember this is an expectation and a command by our Lord that we are called to pray and called to talk to God. But it's more than just a command. It also is a great blessing for us. As I think about Hebrews 4:16, which says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in grace to help in time of need." It's a humbling reminder to think that we, as all sinners, finite creatures, make mistakes, don't have all the wisdom in the world, don't know everything that's going on. We are all given the ability and the access to go to the throne of grace, to the throne of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God Almighty. We are all able. We all have direct access. It's like, you know, being someone that just got hired at the lowest part of a company, and you're able to go to the very top CEO whenever you want. And you can basically tell them exactly what you think every single time. But obviously on an even more infinite scale, right? But we all have this opportunity to go in prayer, to petition, and to communicate with God. But then we also see that not only is it a command, is it a blessing, but it also is powerful. Prayer is powerful and effective. It is a powerful and effective weapon, because in James 5:16 it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Sometimes when we think about prayer, we think it's literally just talking in the air, and we think that it's just something that we're just called to do, and, you know, I'll do it, but nothing much is really going to change about it. We have to refocus and reorient our mind when it comes to prayer and remember this is something where we are actually talking to the divine, and we are literally coming to him with this, and it literally says it will be effective. It will avail much. When we pray, things actually happen. The God of the universe actually starts to move things into motion through the courses of history to accomplish certain things. So any time that you think about prayer, we need to remember it's not just talking in the air, and really it's not going to be anything, but it makes me feel a little bit better. It's literally our weapon. It's also a blessing, and we are literally in that relationship with God. So we are commanded to pray, but as we see clearly in the parable, there's more to it, right? It's more than just pray, but it's to pray with persistence. I think this is the part where even those Christians who do pray, we forget this part. If there's a need that comes up, we'll pray for it maybe on a Wednesday night, or pray for it maybe on a Sunday morning, or if that need immediately arises that moment, we might pray for it. But then after that, there'll be hours, days, weeks, maybe months, and we won't even pray for it again. And we all need to remember that the key for this parable is persistence with prayer. And that is why Jesus, after the first parable, he says this. He says, "Ask," he says, "seek," he says, "knock." And all three of these words are the present tense, which literally means he's saying continue asking, continue seeking, and continue knocking. So there's some clear indication here from the text that this is not something that we're supposed to say one time and say, "Well, I gave it to God, so now I just have to sit and wait." There is an expectation that God has for us that when we pray, we continue to do it. And then at the beginning of the first or the second parable, he even says, "So that you do not lose heart." I'll answer any questions after I finish these points. So what that means then is as we continue to do these things, we are called not to be discouraged, because there are so many times that we can pray, right? And we might even pray a few times about it, and then we'll say, "Well, it's not being answered. I did pray, right? And God's not clearly listening to me. He doesn't care." We can get really discouraged, right? We can lose heart. But the point of the parable in the second one is he's saying, so that you don't lose heart, I'm saying continue to do it, which is also why we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 why we are called to pray without ceasing, right? This is constant communication with God. And I think if we are all honest, we all recognize how we all fall short in that area, that we are in constant relationship with God. Now, that doesn't mean long repetitious prayers like the Pharisees, right, where we just keep using all these big words, all these different things. But it does mean that, whenever that thing comes to your mind that's nagging you or making you worry, you pray about it. You know, whenever you're thinking, man, I really would like God to do this, or I really see, this, and I would like this for the church or for my family, and it's a good thing, give it to God. See, there's so many times that we think about it, we complain about it, we worry about it, we stress about it, but all those times, those should be the indicators that we are then called to pray without ceasing about it. We're called to continue to persist in prayer. But as I said, I think we all like to give up so quickly on our prayers. We like to pray when, like I said, whenever it's really, really on our thoughts, our hearts, our emotions at the time, but then many times we fade away and we give up on it. But we are called, once again, as we see in these parables, that you don't stop. You keep going. You keep being persistent, because that's what we saw then with the neighbor and the widow, right? The reason that they responded was because of the persistence. So then we need to pray. We need to pray with persistence, but then we also need to pray with expectation. See, in this, we need to, not only are we saying, I'm going to give this to God, right? And not only I'm going to keep doing it whenever it concerns me, whenever it keeps coming to my heart, my mind, I'm going to continue to persist with it, but I'm also expecting that God is going to hear me, right? God promises to hear our cares, right? He promises to hear our prayers, our concerns, and then we also expect that He's actually going to answer them, that He's going to work on our behalf. Because we see in these parables that Jesus is saying, God will answer the prayers of His children. See, many times in the parables, we see how there's a, He's comparing God usually to a character. But in this, Jesus actually contrasts God from the characters, if you notice. He contrasts God from the stubborn neighbor, and He contrasts God from the unjust judge. See, unlike them who, they didn't want to help, right? The only reason that they helped was because of the persistence. God, unlike them, is a good father who loves His children, and He actually wants to answer our prayers. He actually wants to work on our behalf and give us our desires. So God is the father to anyone who then is in Christ. So if you have placed your faith in Christ, if you are a Christian, right? If you're born again, then that means that God is your father. But if you haven't done that, then this does not apply to you. You are not a child of God. God is not your father unless you have come to the household of faith. So this should be an encouragement for someone, if you haven't come to Christ, that you would do so, and then you would have God who you can petition day and night. But for those who have God as their father, we then can know that He will quickly answer and work on our behalf. And that every time that God works, we can know that His will and that His gifts are good. And that's why He says in that, where He compares the different things, He says, if you're asking for, if you're asking for a fish, He says, I won't give you a serpent, right? He says, if you're asking for an egg, I'm not going to give you a scorpion. Basically what He's saying there is, when you pray to me, when you actually tell me your desires, your concerns, your cares, we shouldn't be thinking to ourselves like, I'm afraid to pray because I feel like God's going to just do something out of left field here. Like, I feel like if I pray for peace, He's going to like give me like 300 kids and, a mess on the floor and loss of a job or, all my money out of my bank account. God's not going to just throw something out of left field. He's not going to give you a serpent or a scorpion. He actually is hearing your prayer like a good father does. So we don't need to be afraid, because there was someone I spoke to. He was a young man around my age, and he literally told me that he stopped praying because of that. He says, I don't like to pray because anytime I start going back to church, anytime I start praying to God, bad things always happen to me. And he starts to blame God and say, see, I would pray to God and ask that He would do this stuff and work in my life. And all of a sudden, all this bad stuff starts happening. And he starts to blame God for it. But we clearly see in the text that he's saying that is not who God is. God is a good and loving Father who will work and answer our prayers. However, this obviously leaves up that question, right? So wait, if we are called to pray, we're called to persist in prayer, and God is not like the bad neighbor or the bad judge, right? He actually is someone that wants to answer the prayers that He says He's going to. then why is it that when we pray, we need to persist? And sometimes when we persist, why is it that we aren't seeming to get what we ask for, right? That would be a question that we all probably should think about. Well, first off, we have to remember the persistence is not to persuade God, like the judge and the neighbor. We're not trying to change God's mind. We're not trying to force God to do something. Rather, God is having us being persistent in prayer for a couple of different reasons. One, I think he wants us to be persistent in prayer because it once again reminds us of who our focus should be on, right? We should be focusing and delighting ourselves in God first. Sometimes we get so consumed with the request or the gift that we want God to give us that we forget about the giver, who is even greater than any gift that we could receive. So we need to remember that when we persist in prayer, when God is wanting us to continue in prayer, that it's ultimately so that we continue to grow in our relationship with him. I think also when he calls us to persist in prayer, what he's wanting us to do is he's allowing us to reflect on our own motives, our own intentions, and our own desires. Because there are many times when we will just say a prayer and it's on a whim, right? It's kind of like sometimes we want to treat God as a genie, right? You know, you're clicking through the TV, you see an advertisement, and you're like, oh, I'd really like that. Why don't I have that? That would be so much better for this, right? God, I really would love to have that. And then a day later, you forgot you even asked for that. You forgot about that request. You don't even remember the advertisement, right? There are so many times that we can be like that. We can be whimsical. We can literally just have that quick thought, that quick emotion. It can be so self-centered, and we pray for it, but we don't truly have a deep desire for it. So sometimes God allows us to continue to persist in prayer, not only to get closer to him, but also to think about our own heart, our own motives, and our own requests. And then finally, I think what he does is as we're looking to him and as we're reflecting on it, it starts to align as we persist in our prayers to make our prayers in line with the will of God. And this is where his answering truly is found. See, in Psalm 37:4, it talks about how we delight in the Lord, and then all the desires of your heart will be fulfilled, right? God will give you the desires of your heart when we first delight in him. So what it means is we are called, when we pray, to pray in such a way that is God glorifying. So many times when we think about prayer, when we think about asking God about things, it's always about what we want first, without thinking about what does God desire, and then how does that shape and form in our own lives. So we don't want to look at these parables and think, well, Jesus is just teaching you can have anything you want, whenever you want, however you want. It doesn't matter. Just pray for it and it's going to happen, right? Right? Yeah, that's what the health and wealth gospel, right? That's what you hear. Name it and claim it. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. What he's saying is if you pray and seek the things of God, those desires are always going to be met. God is going to meet those needs whenever you focus and you turn to the one who promises to provide for those things. And if you notice the context of chapter 11, the very beginning of Luke chapter 11, you notice the context is that the disciples had just come to Jesus and they had said, teach us how to pray. And then he gives them the model prayer that all of us are pretty aware of and many of us could recite, right? He says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we hear this, and this is what Jesus just responds immediately after they say, teach us how to pray. He says that, and then he goes into that parable about persistent prayer. So whenever we're saying we're supposed to be persistent in our prayers are supposed to look like the model prayer, if you notice, right? So when we want to be persistent in our requests, we want to make sure it always aligns up with these different things. And one of the most important that we see from this prayer is this, I think, is where it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Right? So if we're wanting the model prayer and then we want to persist in that model prayer, it needs to always be through the lens of, God, I want your will to be done in this situation. So though I have my thoughts, I have my concerns, I have what I think would be the right way, but ultimately I want your will to be done And I want your kingdom to come. And I think that you also see that parallel in the widow's parable. Because what was she crying out for ultimately? Justice, right? And that's exactly what that cry is in the model prayer is. When we say we want Christ's kingdom to come and we want his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're literally saying we want justice. We want him to finally come and to make all things right. And that's what we are crying out when we, just like that widow was saying, we want things to be made right. We want things to be made good. And then if you notice, the other thing that we pray in the model prayer is, give us this day our daily bread, right? The 3 loaves of bread that this man was desiring. It's a provision. It's a daily need, a daily necessity. And so those are the things that we are lifting up to God in his will. We're saying we want justice to come in your will, in your timing, and we want our daily needs to be met and provided for in your will, in your timing. So I think that's how we are supposed to think about it. We're supposed to petition God as we delight in him, and then we then request through his will for daily provision and for ultimate consummation. So when we are praying in this way, then I think we should just remember that every prayer that we have then should come through an intention of holiness. Every prayer that you have, you should say, is my prayer focused on making myself, others holy, more like God? Am I trying to raise up people closer to God? And am I trying to bring myself closer to God? Or is it something that is detracting myself from the holiness of God? And if you can always answer with the affirmative that it is a holiness, an intention of holiness, then you can be confident that that prayer is going to be heard by God and answered by God. Now, once again, it doesn't always mean it's in our exact language of how we want it to occur. But if the intention is right and the purpose it aligns with God's will, then we can know he is going to be working in accordance with that, and he'll be working quickly or swiftly. So here's just some other things before we close, and then I'm going to offer it up. I know some people had some maybe thoughts or questions on this. Some things that we should think about and pray about as we hopefully continue to go and persist in prayer. Remember how important it is. In James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So if you're someone that thinks, all right, well, I'm hearing some of this about prayer, and I know I'm supposed to persist in it, but I'm still kind of foggy on exactly what I'm supposed to pray for. Pray for wisdom. Ask God to give you wisdom, give you clarity on what to pray for, how to think, how to pray like these disciples said. Lord, how do you teach us how to pray? Right? It's funny how you think about this too. The disciples were literally praying to Jesus on how to pray to Jesus. If you think about it, right? They were communicating with God incarnate and saying, how do we communicate with God? Right? It's you ask, right? You seek, you knock. These things will be given to you. So if you don't know what to do, you don't know what to pray for, but you continue to be persistent in wisdom, asking for wisdom. Also, a very, very well-known verse, I'm sure many of you know, can quote Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So as we seek wisdom, we can also, as we give our petitions, we give our requests to God, we can know that we can find wisdom and also peace. When we pray, we get wisdom, we get peace. And then finally, the last thing that I want to say is, as we pray, let us always meditate on good things. And that follows in the very next verse of Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if this is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So if you're trying to find on what do I need to pray about, what should I be praying and reflecting on, it's Philippians 4:8. These are the things that bring us to holiness. These are the things that we should be persistent in prayer. And these are the things that God promises that he will answer. He will hear. We will find this justice. We will have our bread. We will have our provisions made, our needs made for us, if we continue to seek our Father who loves us, who hears us, cares about us, and he will work on our behalf. And that is why prayer is so important. We see so many different teachings on it.